We're holding on Gimel on the base, about 12 lines from the bottom of the line, the kibra, by the two dots. We learned in the Mishnah, still talking about Avodim Knanim, we learned in the Mishnah that if somebody sells his Eved to a Goy, or he sells him to somebody in Chutz La'aretz, then that slave automatically goes free, which we said yesterday, basically, I mean, as long as he's under the control of the Goy, practically speaking, he's not free, but if he manages to escape, or if actually the original master had the obligation, as we're going to learn in the Gemara, to buy him back, then he automatically goes free. It's snapped for having sold him to a goy and therefore prevents him from doing mitzvahs, or bringing him out of Eretz Yisrael and therefore preventing him from doing the mitzvahs at Luyas Bar, that's the mitzvahs that are only in Eretz Yisrael. Turn it up. Lava Olavina Ovid Bechavim. If somebody borrowed money from a goy using his Eved as security, meaning basically he made his Eved, he made him kind of an opportunity, like we talked about the other day, that you'll be able to collect from this Eved. So once that guy does to him his nimus, then he goes free. Now nimus usually in shas usually the word nimus means the usual way of doing things. It comes from a Greek word meaning the law. So my nimus, what do we mean over here? Nimus, the usual thing that's done. Amar Huna Bar Yehuda Nashki. It means the stamp that they put on avodim, that they put on slaves. So Rashi explains, we're not talking about a stamp on their skin or whatever, although I think there are some mafarshim who learn it that way. Rashi says it means stamp of a seal that they would hang around the Eved's neck. You can find in Greek and Roman sources and whatever. Yeah, basically, it was like we learned it way back when I talked about such a thing in Shabbos as well, that you have like a piece of clay, or it could be a piece of metal that has a stamp on it, that has the master's stamp on it, and the Eved is supposed to wear that wherever he goes. Yeah, you can find in depictions of Greek and Roman life, you can find such things. So once he puts that nashki on the Eved, then automatically at that point, it means, in other words, basically, from as far as he's concerned, as far as he, the goy, is concerned, he's been coined to the Eved. Therefore, at that point is where the knas kicks in. The article explains nashki a little bit differently. He relates it to the word neshek, which means weapons. So he says basically it means that symbolically, when a goy would buy an Eved, he would have the Eved put some weapons. He would have the Eved carry some weapons, I guess, to represent the idea, like he'll bear arms for him in battle, whatever. Most of Rav Sheshes, or Rav Sheshes says, I have a contradiction. You're telling me that that's what the word nimusa means, but I have another braisa that says, ha'arisin, sharecroppers, so if I have a yid who's working as a sharecropper in a goy's field in Israel, v'achatirus, or renter, the difference is a sharecropper gets a percentage of the crops, so how much he gets depends on how much crops there were, or the choicher pays a fixed amount, whether in money or in crops or whatever, so it doesn't matter how much produce there was. Or he's an oris going back generations, meaning that his family for generations have been oris in this particular plot of land for this particular goy's family. The point of that being that even though it's been in the family for generations, and therefore you'd think that there's already sort of a chazaka of it being under Jewish control, nevertheless, as we're going to say, it's potter from Maise. Or if a goy made it in Eretz Yisrael. Return in Eretz Yisrael, yeah. Or a guy who mortgaged his field to a Yisrael. So the first three cases, Aris and Machakuris and Aris and Bati Avis, is talking about the guy owns the field in Eretz Yisrael, and a Jew is working for him and tending the land. This fourth case is the guy owns the land, but what he did is he borrowed money from a Yid, and he said, if I default on the loan, he says, I'm mortgaging this field to you, that the loan will be paid out of that. And there's various possibilities how exactly the Mishnah Mashka. Practically speaking, they did, right? I mean, they do nowadays also. They're not allowed to sell it to them, but practically speaking, there came four times in history when a certain amount of land, the Mishnah Mashka, was owned by going, yeah. The Alpha Fisher also made Nimusari, so even though he made him his Nimus, Turim and a Meiser. Nevertheless, this field is potter from Meiser, even though the Nimus has already been done on the field. Nevertheless, because it's only a Mashkin, it hasn't yet definitively been given over to the Yid. Now, the Isaf that is Nashki, so if you're going to tell me Nimus means this Nashki, this seal that you have the Eved wear, so Sadabasnashki. You don't have, you know, the field doesn't wear a symbol, so obviously it can't mean that. Elam Rav Sheshet is man. No, so Rav Sheshet says you're right. Then the word nimus over here, the word nimus in the previous braisa, and also this one, must be that a certain time was set up. In the first case, with the Eved, if the Yisrael says to the guy that if I don't pay you back by such and such a date, then this Eved will be forfeited to you. And in the case of the Mashkin, it's the other way around. The guy says to the Yid, if I default on the loan, if I don't pay back by such and such a date, then this field will go to you. And then the question becomes, Kashi's man as man. In that case, then you have a contradiction between the two cases of Zman. Why is it by an Eved, as soon as a Zman has been set up, then it's considered as if he's already sold, and by a field not? By field, we say it's possible for Maiser until it actually enters the dude's hand. The answer is, very simple. One is, by the Eved is talking about where the time already came. Therefore, in other words, so they set up a certain date by which the Eved or the field is going to be forfeit. Once that date comes, yes, the Eved is forfeit. That's what we're saying. At that point, the Knas kicks in. And the Eved, because the Eved is supposed to be a Ben-Hurin. You have the obligation now to buy him back from the guy and to make him a Ben-Hurin. Whereas by the field, it's talking about the time didn't come yet, so therefore it's still possible for Meister, because it's still under control of the guy. Rashi points out, by the way, that this whole discussion over here has to be according to the opinion, which we've touched on this before. We had it earlier in the Masechta. There's a machloikis in a few places in Shas. Does a guy who owns land in Eretz Yisrael, is that land in fact possible for Meister on account of the guy owns it? It comes up in a few places in Shas. Obviously, this discussion, Rashi says, must go according to the opinion that, yes. The question is, in that case, then what's the chiddush? Of course, by the Eved, once the time comes and he's forfeit to the guy, of course, at that point, the Knas kicks in. Why would we think otherwise? What do we need to say that once the nimus, meaning the time, was set up? Ella, I divided the loy mothers in the hello. No, so we have to instead answer differently. Both cases, actually, are talking about where the time did not come yet. So the time set up, if I don't pay the loan back by such and such a date, then the Eved will be forfeit to you, the guy. But that time has not come yet, and by the field also not. The difference is, like Kasha, hold a goof of a hold a tailor. The difference is, though, by the Eved, what are we talking about? This man affects his goof. Now, we learned the other day that technically a guy doesn't have the ability to acquire an Eved's goof, only it might be other. But, you know, very nice and good. That's al pi halacha. The goy, that's in theory. The goy is not going to look at it like that. The goy is going to look at it from the point of view that I own his goof, and therefore that I have the, in particular, one of the reasons we said for this knas, why you're required to buy back the Eved and make him a ben chorin, is because you're preventing him from doing mitzvahs. Because the goy is going to figure, I have full control over him, therefore I have control over his goof, therefore I can force him to work on Shabbos, and so on and so forth. So therefore, from the goy's point of view, he owns the Eved's goof. Therefore, even if the time hasn't come yet, so you made up with a goy that if I don't pay you back by such and such a date, this Eved is forfeit to you. The very fact, this is what the Gemara is saying at this point, the very fact that you said that you're willing to give away this Eved to him, that you're willing to give away this Eved's goof to him, makes it that even now we can't see you that you're going to have to undo that. You're going to have to buy him out and make him a Ben Chorin.
Because there's an assumption that the guy will abuse
him. Not abuse necessarily, but at least that he won't prevent him from doing this. Yeah. Which actually later on we're going to ask questions. What about if he buys him on condition that he won't? But wait, we'll get to that. On the other hand, in the case of the field, what are you doing? You're setting up a time for the payers. That right now you don't get to eat the payers yet, but if I don't pay you back by such and such a date, then you're entitled to the payers until the loan is paid off. So therefore, there's no actual sale involved. Even once the time comes, the field itself has not been sold, just the payers. That's how Rashi learns it. Tosfos has a little bit of a problem with that explanation, and they explain differently that it doesn't mean we're not talking about there are two different cases. We're saying that by the Eved, the fact it's not a question of what the conditions were, whether you're doing the goof or whether you're agreeing to just do the goof or whether you're agreeing to just do the payers. Practically speaking, the Eved at this point, his goof is already going to be in the goy's house. And then he's going to be prevented from doing this. As opposed to the field, all the straw gets paid us out of it. The field itself still belongs to the guy, as long as it's under Mashkin, and therefore it's still potter from Meiser. So it's not a difference of what deal they made. It's a difference of practically speaking, where is the goof at this point? in the case of the Eved, right now, the goof of the Eved is under the control of the good. The goof of the field is also, and therefore you have a mitzvah to buy him back and make him a better chayrin. As opposed to the goof of the field is in the guy's hands because he hasn't handed it over to the idiot. The Ibai same, or another way of answering it. The shalava amanas l'mashkenaz l'mishkenai. You could have a case where the guy, for example, in the case of the field, for example, it actually says that the guy borrowed money from a yid on condition, again, if I don't pay you back by such and such a time, then you can come and take this karka and it'll become yours. But as long as the yid did not exercise that option to do that, he borrowed money on condition that the yid is going to be able to take the field of the mashkin, but he did not yet take it as a mashkin, therefore it's still under the goy's control, it's still under the goy's chazaka, therefore it's potter from Meisen. He didn't actually take the field yet. The goy borrowed money from him. He said, if I don't pay it back by January 1st, then you can take this field. Comes January 1st, the yid has not yet taken control of the field. Yes. So it's not under the yid chazaka yet. So therefore, it's still potter from Meisen. As opposed to the Eved, even if that's the case, even though the goy didn't take him as a mashkin yet, the very fact that you allowed, according to this explanation, according to this understanding, the very fact that you allowed the loan to expire, where therefore you know at any moment the goy can come and take this Eved, and you didn't prevent that from happening by paying back the loan ahead of time, we're going to counsel you and make you have to buy him out and set him free.
How would you take this?
You break down the borders, you build something, whatever it is. You can, yeah. And then Bob Baxter will talk about it. That's the same. Okay. That's one way of explaining it. Again, Tosfos and a number of other Rishonim have a different explanation of the Gemara, that it's not really the Ibai Yisema, it's not really a separate answer, it's clarifying the previous answer, the Gufa and Lepera, but even if we're talking about that as far as the field, all you get out of it is the Peras, there's a difference between whether you actually exercise your option on the Mashkin yet or not. Not in the case of the parents, rather, but in the case of the goof of the Eved. Even though we're saying that the Eved's goof the Eved's goof, practically speaking, is going to belong to the goy. Yeah. But if he hasn't mashkined him yet, if the goy has not actually taken him yet, then nevertheless, then there's a knaf putting yet go into effect. Only when he actually does. Turn it up on him. Some more cases about this. Goy b'choyvoy. What happens if the goy came and collected the Eved for a debt that was owed to him? So the difference is the previous case we talked about, you told him that you're entitled to take this Eved in payment for the debt. In this case, you owe the goy money. You didn't specifically tell him you're entitled to this Eved, but the goy on his own decided to satisfy his claim by taking the Eved. Oy shalach sikrikun, or a sikrikun took him. Sikrikun we're going to learn extensively about in the next parak. We have a Mishnah about it, which leads into the famous discussion about the Agata of the Churban, and afterwards what happened, halachas of it. Sikrikun basically is, there was a period of time during the years right after the Churban and various other times during the next few decades after that, when Jewish blood was cheap. Goyim could kill Jews pretty much with impunity. So therefore, there could come times when a yid is being threatened by a goy like that. So he says to a goy, you know what, I know you have the ability to kill me and nobody's going to bring you to justice. Instead, leave me alive and I'll give you my field. That's called sikrikun. Yeah. So the word sikrikun itself, there's a couple of different possibilities where it comes from. One is, I think Rashi says later, as somebody says, I don't remember, that it comes from the word sotaka, meaning like take this land and don't kill me. Other people say that it comes from a Latin word, I think it is, that means a dagger. So these are like people like a mafia who go around with daggers threatening people, whatever. Anyway. So if a sikrikun came and took this Eved, lo yotel chayrus, then the Eved doesn't go free on that basis. It's true that the goy has him now, but the fact is it's an onus. You can't cancel the original owner because it wasn't with his own volition that he wound up by the goy. Why? You're telling me that if the goy collected him to pay a debt, then that doesn't make him go free, then you don't cancel him. Or a mini, but I have a contradiction. A Braisa says, suppose that an agent from the royal palace forced him to give up his granary, to give up the grain in his granary, that is, or the produce or whatever in his granary, in b'chovo, if it's to pay off a debt, meaning he owed taxes, so the IRS came and took everything as grain as granary. Chayev laser, he has to give meiser on behalf of what's been taken from him, because then Rashi says effectively it's the equivalent of him selling it. You're not allowed to sell tevel. You're not allowed to have hanah from tevel. So that by it being taken to pay off his back taxes, it's the equivalent of effectively having hanah from it. Therefore, he'd have to take off meiser from it. Actually, in the Foshim talk about the question, are we talking about he can take meiser from it even after it was taken by them, or is it when he knows they're coming, then before they come, he has a responsibility to take meiser. Anyway, im ba'anpuris, but if they're taking it, for Rashi says anpuris means hefsid. You know, they're just taking it for no good reason, with no good excuse. So then he's potter from taking meiser. So you see, in that case, they're taking it from him as a chayiv, and you're saying that he's obligated in meiser. Why shouldn't we say the same thing over here? Yes, you didn't tell the guy to take this eved, to collect your chayiv, but the fact is your chayiv has now been paid off. Why shouldn't we cancel you and make you buy him back and make him a ben chayiv? The answer is, shiny hosn become a shtar shilei. Yes, but that's different. The fact of the matter is there, you aren't having hanah, because your debt, your taxes are now paid off. So yes, when it comes to meiser, we're going to make you chayiv and meiser. When it comes to an eved, though, it's a matter of a knas. It's a knas if you sell the eved. The fact is, you didn't sell him. Yes, you have an hanah, but in other words, there's two different things. We can break it down. There's the sale aspect and there's the hanah aspect. In either of these cases, you don't have the sale aspect, but you do have the hanah aspect.
With the government or with a private debt collector,
it doesn't matter. The point is, in both cases, you have those two things. There's, on the one hand, it's sort of the equivalent of having sold the eved or the pile of grain to him, because now your debt is paid off. On the other hand, there's mechira, which you don't really have a mechira. You didn't voluntarily give it to them. On the other hand, there's hanah in both cases. So yes, when it comes to terma and meiser, we're going to focus on the hanah part and make you take meiser from it.
Even without a
mechira. But in the case of the eved, the whole knas only exists in the case where you sold the eved to a guy, and the fact is you didn't sell it, so it was against your will.
But they took the money you owe. Now your money has been satisfied.
That's fine. That's the hanah, but you didn't do mechira. We're only canceling you when you sell the eved to a guy.
You could say you have sar. I mean, if you take your eved against your will, what kind of hanah is that?
Your debt is paid off, though. The fact is, you're not going to have the guys...
You don't have the debt, you do the event.
All right, you know.
How can you say it's not
enough? You have on us, still, that you know this guy is never going to come after you.
Your event cannot work for you.
Fine, okay.
But it's not
neither here nor there. Okay, but the fact is, he's worth a certain amount, and now, thanks to that, okay. We're not saying it's an unadulterated hanah, but there is hanah there. Nevertheless, that's not reason enough to cancel him. Maybe, but either way, if the debt is worth more than the eved, the fact is he still paid off most of the debt. He still has a huge chunk of it off his back.
If the eved is worth more than the debt, then
if the eved is worth more than the debt, fine. Okay. I mean, but the point is we're focusing on the knas. You certainly can't count him, even if it was worth less or even if it was worth exactly as much. Because regardless of what hanah you're getting or not, that's neither here nor there. We're not counting you for the hanah. We're counting you for selling him, and you didn't sell him. That's it. Toshma, the Amar Rav, Hamoicha Avgar Leparhang Ovid Gechavim. If somebody sells his slave to a goyish of Parhang, now what is a Parhang? So Rashi says it means this is somebody who's bringing up false accusations against the person. So therefore, you have this person is bringing up a false accusation against you. He's trying to get you in trouble with the government or whatever. So you try to buy him off by giving him your eved. Tosfos brings differently. Tosfos says that the parhang actually is somebody who takes your eved against your will but pays you for it. So it's not like the sick ripun, for example, before, who takes it and the only thing you get out of it is you stay alive. Here, he says, I want that eved. Whether you like it or not, I'm taking him. However, I'll be fair enough. I'll be very fair, yeah, and I'll pay you.
And you get
some money. And there are other Rishonim we talk about somewhat similarly. There are other Rishonim we talk about that Parhang is basically where he's taken for government service. In other places, right. The Gemara calls this thing angaria. Yeah, it gets drafted into the civil service for a while. The Eved or whatever it is gets drafted into the civil service for a while. They reimburse you for that for sort of like when the
eminent domain.
Kind of like eminent domain, exactly. The government pays you for it, but they still take the thing. Yeah. Anyway.
Will pay you fairly.
Yeah. So if you sell your slave to this parhang, yotze l'cheres, and he goes free. So you got to ask, my havelei l'mevad, why? What else could you have done? The answer is havelei l'fayis. The answer is also havelei l'fayis for l'adiyas. Yes, but he could have bought the guy off with something else. He could have, in the case, according to Rashi, that the parhang is somebody who's trying to extort, who's trying to blackmail you. You give me this eved, or else I'm gonna master on you. Buy him off with something else. Don't buy him off with your eved. According to the other possibilities, also the idea is that in the case, as Tosafot says, if we're talking about the case where the guy is taking it and saying, but you know what, I'll be fair and I'll pay you. Fine, he's willing to pay you. Then tell him at least, don't take my eved. Where then that's going to prevent him from doing mitzvahs. Take something else instead, and you want it to pay as much.
And he just says, no,
what's right, so that's given the notion of him, since after all he is paying, Vada Homer Spice with double more. It's very likely that he would be able to be bought off with something lesser.
Very likely doesn't mean automatically.
I know, but we have to at least try. Maybe. I don't know. Getting back to what we just said, again, the question is, my have a little mevet, why, what could he have done differently? And that's the answer, have a little pious full of peace. I'm not real sure why the Gemara is repeating it again, but okay. Rabbi Yirmiyah, so now Rabbi Yirmiyah asks the question, what if a person sells his eved to a guy for 30 days? The deal is, you're buying him for 30 days, at the end of the 30 days, he returns to me. Sort of renting. That's Tosafot says, actually, that's the connection with the parhang business. Since Tosafot had said that the parhang is a case where, again, why is this person saying, I want that heaven no matter what, but I'm willing to pay for him? Because he needs him for a short term, like the other Mepharshim say, for government service or whatever. Right. Once he's done, he gives him back. So therefore, it's a similar kind of thing. Mahu? Toshma, Dama, Rava, Mercha, Abdul, Parang, Gurga, Kalam, Yatul, Chayrus. We just said. The answer is not necessarily the Gemara says possible. Parhang, we call him Shein Chazeres. No, because you could say that Rav is talking about a parhang where it's not going to come back to you. Rabbi Yemi is asking a case where you made it up with him to begin with that he's going to return him to you at the end of 30 days. Mocher Chutz Memalachte Mahu. Next, Rabbi Yemi asks another question. What if you sell the Eved to a guy except for his work? Meaning, you don't have the right to make him work. Now, what is the guy buying him for? Rashi explains, what he's buying him for is what he can accomplish with them is that he can marry him off to a shivcha klanis, and have him the children will be avodim. So then you're not preventing him from doing. No, never mind the knas. The knas wouldn't go to a guy anyway. But you're talking about the knas, that's what we're asking. Does the knas that the chachamim right. would say that you sold an eved to a goy, therefore you're going to have to buy him back and set him free, does that apply in this case? On the one hand, the goy doesn't have control over his goof. He has no ability to prevent him from doing mitzvahs. On the other hand, there is the fact that now you're preventing his children from being Jews. You're preventing his children from being avodim knanim who are going to keep some mitzvahs. These children are going to grow up in the goy's household and are not going to keep mitzvahs at all. Maybe therefore we should cancel him for that. Fine, but here when an Eved is already a quasi-Jew, he already has chayiv. Fine, but still, he had the capability of fathering children who are going to be chayiv and mitzvahs, and you're taking that away.
That's only if he marries another.
If he marries a shivcha klanis, we're talking about. Even every klanis, anyway, can't marry a bas chayiv.
Right. Now he was
going to
have children.
That's the thing. If he was an Eved Kanani and he had children, okay, the truth is technically the children don't go according to him anyway, they go according to her. Right. Whatever, she's a Shifcha Knanis. She's on the same level right. as he is. The right. difference is, though, that if he were to marry a Shifcha Knanis at the house of his Jewish master, then the children would grow up in a Jewish household, and they would grow up as Avodim Kananim, also they would grow up keeping some mitzvahs. Like this, they're growing up in a Goyish household and they're not going to have any of that. Next, chutz min ha-mitzvah, Mahu. But we're not talking about that. Okay. Another possibility, what if he sold the Eved to the Goy a little bit differently? You have the right to make him work. However, you don't have the right to prevent him from doing mitzvahs. Or Chut Mishabbat Sviyam Tovim. Now, what if he say, I'm selling him to you, but except for Shabbos, you're not allowed to work with him Shabbos and Yom Tov. Then he still belongs to me. Or Leger Toshav. What happens if you sell the Eved to a Ger Toshav, who keeps the Shabbat Mitzvahs Nei Noach? Or the Yisrael Mumer, or what would be the din if you sell him to a Mishumah?
They'll make it worth it.
No, the Yisrael Mumer, you should not be able to sell him his club.
The fact is you have the ability to, so that's the question. Does the Knas apply in all these cases? And Lakusi, Mahu. And one more, Lakusi, Mahu. What about if you sell him to a Kusi? It's nonsense. Those are all questions. The answer is Pshayt Miyachad. Okay, you can at least answer one of them based on a Braisa. A Braisa says Ger Toshav Arei Kerev Chavim. A Ger Toshav for this purpose is considered the same as a full-fledged Oyved Avodah Zarah. So therefore, the Knas is in effect. What about Kusi Yisrael Mumer? Amri La. So there's two different versions of what the Braisa says. Amri La Kerev Chavim or Amri La Yisrael. One version of the Braisa says that a Kusi and a Yisrael Mumer are considered like a Goy for that purpose. Therefore, the Knas would take effect. The other version is that they're like a Yisrael, and it says not.
So we don't know.
No, the question we're assuming that this is at the time when they're according to the opinion that they're Gary Emmett. Now obviously after they found them worshipping their job on high risen, then they're full fledged Goyim, there's no question about that. We're talking about before that. They asked Rav Ami a question like this. Eved Shehipo Asmila Gayosis. If you have an Eved who got himself voluntarily captured by a gang of armed bandits. We learned about the other day, there's a whole concept of Pidyon Shvuyim. His master is not going to be able to get him back from them, not in a Jewish based in, not Mahabdul in a Goyish report. Is he allowed at that point to at least say to these bandits, you know what, fine, you have him, I'm not going to be able to force you, you're too tough for me to be able to force you to give him back, at least pay me for it. Like, does he have the ability to do that? Where basically then he's saying that now he's like completing the sale for them, I'm sort of voluntarily selling him to you.
We're still arguing about the Knas here?
Yeah, then that's the question. In other words, do we say, this is the whole discussion about the Knas here. Do we say the fact is you've sold him to the Goyim, therefore you're going to be responsible now to buy him back and make him a Ben Chorin? Or maybe not. The fact is he's already in their hands. He himself voluntarily got himself in that position. So maybe you don't have to. So I'm a little zikra. Puk ayin b'mechiltach. Go out and check into your mechilta. What is mechilta? Rashi says it means the Mishnayis that you know already by heart. Let's figure it out from that. And then see what we know. Other Rishonim talk about the Mechilta from one of the Gaonim says that might be a collection of halachas. You weren't allowed to write collections of halachas for public use, but people could write private notes for themselves. So it may mean they're telling them to check as private notes or a collection of braises or whatever. Nafak dak ba'ashkach. So he went out and checked into it and he found something. Tanya. Hamoichav beisav o'ovet v'chavim. If somebody sells his house to a goy, now we're talking about his house is in Eretz Yisrael. So the mitzvah in the Torah says lois chonim. Literally, it means don't favor the goyim. But we also learn from it letzitim lahem chamnoya v'karka. Don't allow them to have a permanent dwelling place in Eretz Yisrael.
Just that a goy owns land.
Practically speaking, you can have a goy who owns land because they conquered it or whatever. But a yid is not allowed to sell them a house. Doma v'asurin. Then the money for that house is asur. The Rambam explains differently, by the way. The Rambam explains, we're talking about over here, that a person sold his house anywhere in the world, not just in Eretz Yisrael, to a base of a Jezara. He sold it for purposes of, they're now going to build a church over there. So then, Jom HaVasurim, because it's money from a Jezara.
Does it mean, Oved Kachavim, meaning someone who sells for a church, or someone who sells to a goy?
No, that's the question. That's the thing. Rashi learns it over here, Oved Kachavim means you sell it to a goy, but it means in Eretz Yisrael. So it means a private goy is going to be living there. The problem is like the chani. According to the Rambam, rather you're selling it to a church, you're selling it to a base of a desara anywhere in the world, and the problem is that now you're deriving benefit from a desara. Anyway, so dumb of us are in. However, but if a goy forcibly takes a yid's house, that in Bible of Yachol is still living in Eretz Yisrael, living in Eretz.